verse 4. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without it, in a place where two ways met. And they loosed him. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And before I read the next words with you, I want to ask you to honestly examine the words we will read. The Lord Jesus is the speaker. Please tell me what he believed about the next world. Please tell me if there is any other way to understand these words than that he is expressing reality of a definite place. And in hell, he lifts up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Chapter 23, finally. You will not know how much I have appreciated this selection of hymns tonight, because with the very solemn issues that are before us, I would have to tell you that there are many things I would prefer to preach on tonight. So it means very much to me to have sung about the place which is called Calvary, because I want to read with you about that in verse 33 of this chapter. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and another on the left. Life is full of places. Places that have a particular significance. Places that are memorable. Places that are remarkable. Even some places that are fairly ordinary are places that trigger a memory. And as you go to that place, suddenly a flood of memories come back. There's just a little place in the street around the corner from where we live. I don't enjoy going by that spot now for the last year, because last October I was driving a borrowed van. And it was a wet day, and we were engaged in a gospel activity, and I had to get to a certain place. Well, a man pulled across the street, and I fishtailed around him in that borrowed van, and every time I go past that spot, I remember the sound, and I remember that accident. Not pleasant. We have read tonight of three places that I want to just draw your attention to. And I want to think, first of all, of this place that reminds us of the present. It is a place where two ways meet. I'm not sure how you feel about this gospel meeting, what your expectations for this meeting are, but could I tell you that the way we view this meeting is, this is a place where two ways meet. This is a place where choices are being made for eternity. Very clearly, the Lord Jesus taught that there are two roads upon which men and women travel. There are two destinies toward which men and women are traveling. And the whole world is encompassed in that simple map that the Lord Jesus portrayed. A broad road that leads to destruction. A narrow road that leads to life. And every one of us is traveling. And a gospel meeting brings men and women to that juncture in the road where there is a choice to be made, a choice to remain as I am, traveling on the broad road, or a choice to turn and claim the Lord Jesus as Savior and begin on the journey to heaven itself. Now, I suppose you may not like to be confronted with the idea that perhaps you are traveling on the road to hell, but that is the presentation the Lord Jesus gives us. The many are on the road that leads to destruction. Every one of us by birth was fitted for eternal night and darkness. We were all born sinners. And therefore the reality is this. If there has never been a moment when you have turned from that road onto the road that leads to heaven, then tonight you're not bound for heaven. Very plain and direct. You may be traveling on the side of the road where all the people are nice people. You may be traveling in your own comfort zone. But if there has never been a moment when you have turned to trust Christ as personal Savior, then you have never started on the journey to heaven. And the reality is tonight, you remain on that road. And a gospel meeting brings men and women to a place where two ways meet. There are eternal possibilities in a gospel meeting like this. You see, my mind's going back to the 16th of April in 1961. As a boy of 16 years of age, I sat in a gospel meeting much smaller than this. I listened to the same gospel message that you will be hearing tonight. And I go back to that date many, many times and thank God from my heart that I made the right choice that night. I decided in that gospel meeting that night I wouldn't go one more night without Christ as my Savior. However it would be possible for me to be saved, that was the night when I must have God's salvation. I stayed and spoke to the preachers. I didn't receive salvation. As they spoke to me, I did get help. And I went home with this determination, I'm not going to bed until I get Christ. And as I sat alone with the Bible on my knees in the back room in the home of my parents upstairs, I trusted Christ. Thank God I made the right choice. That was the most important choice of my life. I'm still amazed to think that the most important thing I ever did in my life, I did at 16. I started for heaven. And in this meeting tonight, there is the possibility that from each section of this gathering, there could be souls who will make an eternal choice to flee to Christ, to come to Calvary, and to start for heaven for eternity. But you'll understand what burdens us deeply is that there is as well another choice that men and women may make. And what we little understand in a gospel meeting like this is that there are choices being made that will end in eternal night and darkness. There may be someone in the gathering tonight, and you're wondering whether you'll ever be back to a gospel meeting like this, and you're weighing up the possibility. And it may be that your choice will seem so obvious, so simple, so commonplace. But let me tell you tonight, the choice you will be making will be a choice that will affect your eternity. I don't want to tell you too many details about what I'm going to mention to you now because I have not told this to the family of the man involved. But I had opportunity to speak to him a number of times after gospel meetings. I said to him often, Bill, do you think about salvation? Yes, I do. Do you intend to get salvation? Yes, I intend to get salvation. Bill, when are you going to get this settled? Someday. He was not young, so you could expect a few medical problems, just a little minor problem came up. He went to the hospital, went to visit him in the hospital on a Saturday night. A friend of mine and I stood at the end of the bed, talked with him, talked about the little surgery he had had, talked about his recovery, talked about his prospects of going home tomorrow. The doctor had already told him he'd be in tomorrow, he would release him. Before we left, I said to him again, "Bill, what about salvation? When are you going to get salvation?" "Someday." We prayed, we left, to be greeted by the news the next morning that Bill expected to go home today, but he had passed into eternity. "Someday," you say, "I will seek the Lord. Someday I will make my choice." Oh, may I bring you to the place tonight of understanding that as you sit where you sit tonight, this is a place where two ways meet. Eternal choices are being made. And could I remind you, they are personally your responsibility. You cannot say, "I am making this choice because so-and-so sits next to me. I am making this choice because I don't think that my friends or my family would appreciate my choosing Christ and choosing salvation." You cannot say, "I am making a choice tonight to turn away from this issue, whatever the issue is you're presenting to us, because I choose to remain with the faith of my fathers. I choose to continue in the way that's comfortable for me. I don't want to be a fanatic," whatever it may be. Blame the choice on someone else, but when it comes down to it tonight, you personally choose. And as he stood face to face with the Lord Jesus, as you are in this gospel meeting tonight, let me ask you, what would your choice be? "What will I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" If you stood at the way where two ways meet and recognized this is the road to heaven and this is the road to hell, let me ask you tonight, in the name of my God, let me ask you, what will you choose? Two roads before us lie, and each a choice must make. The one leads upward to the sky, the other downward to the lake. You can't avoid the choice. Soul in the gospel meeting tonight, we are not dealing with issues that are passing. We are dealing with issues that are eternal, personal, relevant to you in this meeting. But let me come with you to the place that we have read about in Luke chapter 16. I've asked you, as we have read the passage, what did Jesus of Nazareth believe? This is not what a sophisticated gathering of men and women in 1996 wants to hear. But I want to insist tonight, I'm making no apology for telling you this. If I believe that Jesus is God, I believe that what he taught about the next world is truth. It is not up to us to decide whether it is pleasant or comfortable, whether it appeals to our modern mind. We have read tonight the words of the Lord Jesus. They have come down through the centuries, and he tells us of this place of torment. Could I tell you tonight that in the words of the Lord Jesus, the man who died, though he had riches and comfort and food and everything luxurious in life, is the man who, when he lifted up his eyes on the other shore, found himself in torment. Will you understand tonight? This is not some scare tactic of religion. This is not some high pressure presentation that we are making tonight to somehow appeal to your emotions. I ask you, if we do believe what Jesus of Nazareth taught, what shall we tell you tonight? Shall we not give you some inkling of the world toward which you are hastening? If after all you make a choice tonight and you fail to make the choice for heaven, shall we fail to tell you what the alternative is? Several years ago, while visiting in Florida, friends of ours took us down the inland waterway on the Gulf side, and we came finally around the point, and there were three bridges stretching across the end of Tampa Bay. One was beautiful, striking. One large tower in the middle and bronze-colored cables like a sail glistening in the sun. as both northbound and southbound lanes were suspended from that single tower, the Sunshine Skyway. And just next to it was an obviously older bridge, complete the northbound lanes of what used to be the Sunshine Skyway. And then next to that, the southbound lanes. And what was there was ugly. Down at the far end, it was all complete, but fairly near where we were, there were two spans of that bridge missing. And nobody had bothered to paint it up and fix it up. Where those two spans had been torn away, it was all glaring there before us. And it brought to my mind the story of the day when a pilot helping a tanker exit the bay had had too much to drink. The result was that big tanker bumped against the bridge pier. And two spans of that bridge fell into the bay. Up above, the cars were traveling, and one driver saw what had happened. And he saw that the end of that incline there, it was just an open expanse, nothing. He stopped his car on the side of the road and got out by the side of the road and tried to flag down the Greyhound bus that was barreling on down, southbound, to make up time in his schedule. I suppose, and no one will ever know, that the bus driver was a bit irritated by, this man probably wants me to stop and help him fix a tire, or whatever the problem is. But as the man stood there, flailing his arms to stop him, he put the pedal to the metal and steered out around him and took 32 souls over the edge into eternity. And I sometimes think of that man standing there with arms wailing, waving, and think of what we are doing in a gospel meeting like this. It may seem an aggravation to some. We are stopping. We are trying to stop you. We are trying to tell you there's danger ahead. And whether that's pleasant to you or not, that is the teaching of the Lord Jesus. He tells us of a place where there is an endless frustration. A man who comes to face this, there is no comfort in this place. It is a place of unbroken torment. It is a place where there is no possibility that even the slightest drop of water will come to bring comfort and relief in the midst of the awful torment. Do I believe such a place exists? Yes. That at the present moment there are souls who are experiencing the endless torment of hell. And I wish I could tell you that I know no one who is there. But flooding into my mind as I speak to you are faces of loved ones, friends, and I do not know for certain where they are, but I fear some of them are there. I love them. I spoke about Christ to them. They may have missed heaven. And with a genuine interest in your soul tonight, I want to tell you about this place of torment. And tell you that the most fearful aspect of this place is the tremendous foreboding that this man faces in the midst of the fire. The foreboding is this. This is forever. I'm not sure that you grasp, nor can I grasp, what it means forever. We say diamonds are forever. We say young people promise to one another that they will love one another forever. We have such a limited perspective. Let me tell you that what we have read about tonight is forever. When diamonds have ceased to be, and when heaven and earth has passed away, and when everything that seems so permanent and stable is gone, there will still be souls from this gathering tonight, either in heaven. Oh, thank God for the possibility that there may be someone who will leave this gathering tonight, starting on the road to heaven, sure of being with the Lord Jesus, sins forgiven through His precious blood.
The awful tragedy that from this meeting souls will go out into eternal night and darkness.
This is forever. This place of torment. That's why the message of this place called Calvary is a message of such good news. There is only one possible way to avoid the place of torment. There is only one possible way to enter on the road that leads to heaven. And that is to come to this place which is called Calvary. Let me tell you tonight, have a compassionate prayer by the Lord Jesus. For I want you to know that there was a tender Savior who gave his life upon the cross. When we have read the plain words of the Lord Jesus, I'm sure you understand that there was not a note of hardness in his voice when he spoke. I can't tell you from the scriptures there was a tear in his eye, but I can tell you that his heart was deeply concerned for men and women on the way to hell. And I can tell you that in wondrous love he went to Calvary to place this great barrier in your road to hell. In wondrous love he suffered upon the cross for men's salvation. They have just lifted him up upon the cross. Men have looked into his face and despised him and rejected him. They have crowned him with thorns and bathed his blessed cheek in cruel, rude spittle. They lift him up with the agony of nails suspending him in his hands. And his first words from his heart are these, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I want you to know that there is grace in the heart of God. There is love in the heart of the Savior. And there is a living man tonight who has passed through death, gloriously been raised from the dead, as we have sung this evening. He lives in heaven and he longs to save you. Right in the meeting tonight, that same loving Savior has suffered at Calvary. And he loves you still tonight. And he wants you in heaven with him forever. I want you to know that Calvary, this place which is called Calvary, is a place of consummate pain, anguish and suffering inestimable. Let me put on the scales tonight two things. You'll understand that because of sins, men and women will suffer in hell forever. Hell is not the wish of God. Hell is the choice of men who choose their sins. And if men choose their sins, they must have the suffering that goes with sins. And on the other side of the scale, let me tell you that Christ also hath once suffered for sins. The scales aren't balanced tonight, for his suffering at Calvary is infinite beyond measure. His suffering for sin is enough to satisfy God for every sin of a wide world. Thank God for a salvation tonight that is universal, for the value of the work of Christ that meets the need of every sinner. There is not one soul in the gathering tonight, whatever your background may be, however deep crimson stained your sins may be, there is sufficient in the value of the work of Christ to remove every sin. Suffering beyond measure for man and all their sin. And thank God tonight that the place which is called Calvary is a place of complete payment. What the Lord Jesus offered in sacrifice at Calvary was a full payment that God accepted. And that is why as we preach the gospel tonight and bring you to again to this place where two ways meet, we're not asking you to join some church. We're not asking you to say some prayer. We're not asking you to resolve to change your life. Years of praying do not make you more eligible for God's salvation. The very fact that you and I are sinners is all the eligibility we need. Christ died for sinners. And let me tell you tonight that what he did at Calvary was a complete payment to satisfy God for every sin. And if you will simply take what God is telling you about the place which is called Calvary, you understand tonight,
You could leave this meeting and know that every sin is forgiven because someone else paid for them. In drops of precious blood, God grant as you listen to the message of the gospel to the close of this meeting, you may make it your passionate choice. May I use that word? Your determined choice to get to Calvary, to trust this Savior, to leave this meeting knowing that every sin is forgiven and that heaven will be your final home.